Iowa. That's the Green Tree Company, 623-8118 or 621-8118.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 16 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, and I'm joined by Shenandoah Medical Center, as I've been telling you, and we do have the privilege and pleasure this morning to visit with Eric Holste, who is the COO, the Chief Operating Officer with Shenandoah Medical Center. Mr. Holste, good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Pleasure to see you.
It's great to be here, always.
How's summer going?
It's, in a flash, but it's been great. You know, lots of great things going on around the community. Kids are super involved in sports and their band and everything, and we just got back from vacation, so I can't. I can't complain.
Okay, let's before we get into SMC, let's talk about the family a little bit. You have a founding member of a band that most people recognize, Gas and Grass. We talk about Gas and Grass a lot.
Yeah, they're fun.
And Davin is your oldest.
Yep.
And he's a founding member, right?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah. So Davin, and what are Davin's plans now?
So he's actually, we're leaving a week from tomorrow, moving him over to the University of Iowa. He's planning to major in computer science and thinks, at this point anyway, cybersecurity's kind of got his interest.
Oh, wow, that's a big field.
So, yeah, wow. That's you know, he loves his computers and stuff, but
No interest in continuing with the music line, huh?
Oh, no, he'll definitely do some music stuff. He's talked about. He's actually got a little website set up where he's got some sample stuff from bass setups and all the stuff that I don't understand. And then he hopes to get on with maybe another band over there to keep him busy during the year and maybe do some studio work. But his plan, I talked to him just a couple weeks ago, is ask him if he was, you know, kind of bummed about the fact that the band's last gig's this tomorrow, actually, for the summer. And he's like, it's not that big a deal. I'm going to keep the bookings open, and so we can continue to book for next summer and get back together. So
very cool. Now, you say we because you have another member of Gas and Grass now, right?
Well, I do. For about the last year, I don't know. I wouldn't have been this cool of a big brother or didn't have friends that would have allowed it either. But Davin and Drew, Jack, and Brayton were so gracious. And my daughter plays guitar, and they thought that, you know, two guitars in the band would make it sound even better.
Yeah.
And so she's 14 years old, and about the time that they started the band, they invited her to start coming into practices, and they started out playing, you know, three or four songs together. And then over the winter months, she practiced their entire catalog, and they're up to, I think, 46 songs that they play now.
Wow.
And she learned all those in a year. So they're very proud of her because it took them 4 years to get to that level, and she learned it all in 1 year. And
she's talented, right?
She's doing pretty darn good, much better than I could.
Ellison Holste.
Yep.
Or Ellie,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And she's 14. Now you have a younger
Camden
son.
Yep. He's 12.
Yeah.
And He's not found his...
Has he picked up the guitar yet?
He likes the French horn, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that's where his musical focus is, but he's much more... all the kids played sports and stuff and still do. But Camden's kind of a little bit more athletically minded, I think, now. And he's been wrestling all summer and getting ready for first year of junior high football, which will be interesting at 70 pounds, but...
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Well, you know what? You just tenacious and get in there and get after it, right?
There,
I like it. So, well, you know what? You're going to have a 12-year-old freshman.
Seventh grader.
First
year junior high.
You're going to have a seventh grader, and you're going to have a college freshman.
Yep. So, yeah, going to be all new world for everybody. We got that first year junior high, first year of high school, and first year of college all happening at once. So,
wow.
My wife and I are bracing for some, you know.
Very cool. But that's fun, though.
It is.
I mean, it's you know, you have to take those, because when it's over, it's over.
Oh, my
And
gosh,
you just got to enjoy those times.
It's amazing looking back that, you know, I think about Davin's freshman year, you know, and how quick those last 4 years have gone. And now it'll only be 6 years till our youngest is out. And so we know how quick that time goes. And it's just, you grasp onto every memory.
Absolutely. Well, and it's fun, it's enjoyable, and I know that you spend a lot of time going between different events, so thanks for doing that. You, like I said, you're the Chief Operations Officer at Shenandoah Medical Clinic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you were also a physical therapist by training and trade, right?
Yep, correct.
So let's talk a little bit about SMC. How long have you been at SMC,
So Eric? It's just this past June marked my 11th year, we moved back to Southwest Iowa. Both my wife and I are Southwest Iowa kids, and moved away for a while, but moved back here in June of 2014.
Okay.
And so we've been here since then.
Yeah. Let's talk big picture, SMC, some of the things that are going on, updates, developments, services. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I was thinking on the way up here, I always take for granted, these things happen every day and every week in my world. And as I think about how long it's been since I've been up here to give kind of an update, there's a lot of stuff and I'll probably miss a few things, but the stuff we got going on right now is, we have about a year ago, Dr. Smith, our internal medicine doc, Tim Smith, and his family moved back to Colorado. And so we've been without an internal medicine MD for the past year. And so at the end of this month, Dr. Janaid Ibrahim will be finishing up his internal medicine residency and joining SMC.
Okay.
And so his first clinic should be open for September 2nd is kind of the plan right now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he'll, in Dr. Smith's absence, Stephanie Robinette's continue to do a lot of the internal medicine work, but this will supplement that and allow us to expand and grow for those, especially those complex chronic condition patients and everything. So we're really excited about that. We've also expanded our behavioral health offerings. We just hired a licensed mental health counselor, Tanya Batt, to provide more counseling services. So we have two full-time behavioral health med providers, and then two, a licensed independent social worker, and now Tanya to do those counseling services. And I think we could hire six more of each and still not, completely meet the need, but we're working towards,
behavioral health. Is that growing? I mean, do you see a tremendous expansion in that?
Yeah, I do.
What all falls under behavioral health? What are we doing?
A little bit of everything, honestly, everything from, mental health counseling and for all those needs. The good news is mental health's become such more in the spotlight.
Yes.
It's become so the stigma has been removed from that. Right. I mean, it's the mental health is just like any other portion of our health, nobody's ashamed to say I've got a heart condition or anything, but so we had to, it's taken some time to get to that, that mental health drives a lot of everything else. And so, so there's that, but also, a lot of things, our addictions, and even down to like food addictions and weight management, a lot of times has a behavioral health component. And so, our med, management, behavioral health folks can help with that part of the journey and do things like, some specific training and realignment of thought processes and stuff to help, with those or sometimes chronic conditions come back to, just something that's a perceived, where our mind is driving that a little bit and maybe is the barrier to getting completely healthy. So,
and it seems like to me, and this is just a totally random observation from my point, but it seems like the mental health component of things really has come into focus since COVID. I mean, it's always been there.
Definitely.
And we talked about it, but really, like you say, removing that stigma. And it's much more in the, common dialogue.
Yes. I think we all had a time to slow down and reflect a little bit on, what really is going on internally, when we had, we're left with just ourselves for that period of time, and which is, you always got to look for that silver lining in any cloud. Right. And I think that is something that you're correct came out of that gave us a platform to really work from.
Seems like it's really pushed that narrative forward
sure. So. It has.
All right.
So
anything else as far as service lines?
One of the things we're really proud of here in the last year is about a year ago, a little over a year ago, this past April, I guess, we brought on Dr. Clyde Sullivan, non-invasive cardiologist, and decided to bring him in to be an employed specialist there at SMC. We saw that we had a huge need for cardiology services and we are getting great support from a lot of our tertiary facilities around the area, sending specialists down, and we continue to have those. Even with Dr. Sullivan's practice, which is 5 days a week, he's there 5 days a week. We continue to have Dr. Akkad and Dr. Menser and Dr. Scott Lundgren for the advanced heart disease stuff come down. But we were kind of surprised, but maybe not really surprised, that even adding a specialist on that's there 5 days a week, that we needed to expand his clinic. He's full up and getting to the point where his patients are out there where he doesn't want them to be.
Right.
And so he's done this at multiple other critical access hospitals and rural health clinics where he's brought on a partner. And so Sarah Christensen is a PA that just joined his team. And the thing with Dr. Sullivan is he really wanted the services to be, and especially in the cardiology realm, where, you know, you can line up five cardiologists and they may all have just a little different approach to things.
Sure.
And sometimes those approaches are counterintuitive to each other. So he wanted to make sure that their practice was going to be hand in glove, right? Mm-hmm. And so for 2 months, he's been working with Sarah. And then the goal is that if you come in as a patient of theirs, that you leave there not knowing who you saw necessarily, because the plan's so,
yes,
you know, integrated that you just don't know, you know? And so that's what we've been working towards. Sarah's going to start seeing patients next week on her own. And so that doubles. So we sat down the other day and it was kind of eye-opening, but even just a couple of years ago, we were able to offer about 8 to 9 days of cardiology coverage on site per month. You know, now we're at 45 days of coverage per month. So, and we're keeping every one of those practices full. So that says something.
That's tremendous growth, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow.
It really is, yeah.
And need, and it's all done right here. It's local. It's close to home. All of these are great things.
Yeah, we're super excited about that. And that's what, you know, I know all of the local facilities really work towards. And I think that's the feather in our cap when we can do it, is offering those big city type services right here, not giving up any of the quality, giving up any of the high standard, but also pushing the envelope on the newest and greatest approaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Holstie with me, Chief Operations Officer with Shenandoah Medical Center. Speaking of newest and greatest, let's talk about the Robert S. Holmes Cancer Center.
Yeah, that's
how long has it been online now?
We're working on about 18 months.
Okay.
You know, I think we treated our first patient on the new linear accelerator in May of 24. Yeah, I think that's right. It all grows together. So that's, and maybe it's even longer ago than that. It, like, the time just flies.
Sure.
But yeah, that's, you know, continuing to grow and develop. You know, a couple projects we got going on there right now, and they're huge. The first one is we're working on, it's going to be about a 3-year process, but we're working on a national accreditation through the Commission on Cancer, which is I think there's 24 standards that you have to meet, and it's very quality driven, but also, you know, like we talked, you have to be able to provide the latest and greatest technologies and the approaches that are sound and evidence-based. And there's a lot of time and work involved in it. And so part of that, we had to develop a cancer committee and then also hold tumor boards on a monthly basis. And so our engagement from our medical staff, both our employee medical staff and then our ancillary, you know, pathology and things like that we get from the University of Nebraska Medical Center have just been overwhelming. It's so exciting to see, you know, and the communication and collaboration that happens there. And so that process will take us 3 years, and traditionally would have been next to impossible. I mean, it's a very renowned and very hard thing for large cancer centers to accomplish. And in the rural setting, standalone clinics in the past was traditionally impossible.
Very rare.
Very, very rare. But we were lucky. The University of Iowa actually partnered with some folks in Kentucky, because Kentucky's another very rural area, and they wanted to be able to provide the best. And so they came up with a tract and some help to help these rural communities do this in their cancer centers. And so then the University of Iowa has partnered with us and the ICANN project, and we'll be one of the first 5 or 6 in the state to hopefully get that accreditation through
that
collaboration.
Cool.
It really is. And once again, you talk about, you get on these calls with some very impressive, amazing people that are doing, you know, and
highly credentialed.
Oh my gosh,
the whole deal. Yeah.
But they treat you just like you're the answer, you know, and it's been so rewarding, and I couldn't, you know, think of anything much more fulfilling than where we're going with that. And then that second project is, you know, we talked about kind of the latest and greatest. One of those things that you may have seen on TV or, you know, not even known what it was because you got to have the commercials all the time with the pharmaceuticals and this and that. But there's kind of a new line of what's called Theranostics. And it's the kind of the next phase of radiation oncology. And it'll sound kind of complex. I geek out over this stuff. Yeah. But like Dr. Abdi described it to me, it's kind of like the components of a missile.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a injection they put into IV, and part of that is a radioactive drug that has specific targets, kind of the guidance system of the missile, mm-hmm. that will say we've got prostate cancer that metastasized out to the bone. This drug will go and find the receptors on the prostate cancer, and it has an affinity just to those, and so it locates that. And then we put a radioactive isotope connected to that drug on the backside of it. So that's the bomb, so to speak. And so you deliver radiation directly to the cancer cells themselves without affecting any healthy tissue around it.
Wow.
And it goes, fights, and destroys it right at the source. And so it's been very effective so far in metastatic cancers. And so we've gone through the process and training and everything, and we're getting ready. So if you hear things like, and I don't want to sell products for anybody, but Vofigo or Pluvicto, or, you know, there's a lot of them coming out, and hopefully it sounds like a very promising line that hopefully we can get more and more.
I got to tell you, this is one of the things when I have the opportunity to visit with people in the medical world, and I love to do, I always ask about the technology. This is one of the things that I'm talking about. These new developed theranostics?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that terminology.
Yeah, and they came up with that because it's both diagnostic and therapeutic. So that's the...
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
How specific that treatment is. And exciting, too.
It is. I
read another... it was earlier this week, and I think it was from the University of Iowa. Maybe not. But for multiple sclerosis, and a similar therapy for multiple sclerosis, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm like you. That's exciting stuff when you see that. But that's right here that you're talking about that's being offered or will be offered.
Will be offered, yep. We've got looking for our first patient that we want to do that with. And then, you know, part of the accreditation process as well is getting folks enrolled in research studies and everything, of course, that's where these things start,
right?
And so, we're just so extremely cool. excited about the prospects.
Theranostics.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to be looking out for that now. That is cool. And exciting stuff, too, by the way. But, you know, again, it goes to the stuff that's available right here.
Yeah.
You know, locally, right there in Shenandoah. Yeah. Very cool. Awesome. And, again, we are visiting with Eric Holstey, who is the Chief Operations Officer with Shenandoah Medical Center. Anything else that we need to be aware of, Mr. Holstey, as far as therapy services or over at the Wellness Center?
Sure.
Talk to me a little bit about what's going on there.
You know, we talked early on about how busy the summer has been, and I know the wellness team, our personal trainers and athletic trainers, just finished up their yearly summer sports acceleration program.
Yeah.
We had, I think, 60-some kids enrolled in that from all over the area, and that's just a great thing. It's fun to see, them challenging themselves to think outside the box, because it's hard to get, you know, 10, 11, 12 year olds coordinated both physically and mentally on the same page to do your traditional kind of exercise courses and stuff. And these are definitely much more, sports specific, but they do a great job, and the kids have a lot of fun and see a lot of improvements, and, you know, they both test in and test out of that program. And so the kids get excited about the progress that they've made on maybe it's their vertical jump or their 40 time or, you know, whatever, pro agility and stuff. And it's just a great community resource. And so very proud of them for that. And then I think the other thing with the Wellness Center crew on the therapy side ties right back into our cancer accreditation. We had I kind of put the challenge out there to our rehab team coming out of COVID, you know, that one of the populations that maybe was really affected during that time was our cancer and hematology patients that have compromised immune systems because they were really scared to get back in integrated with everybody else, as we all were at that point. And so we decided to go ahead and put a rehab department right in our cancer center, in the Robert S. Holmes Cancer Center. And so I had a group, two OTs and a speech language pathologist. So Wendy Stenzel, Alicia Edelman, and Maggie Devine that had interest in the cancer population. And so we looked into an accredited certification through PORI, which is a Physiological Oncology Rehab Institute. And we were one of the first, about 30 in the nation, to achieve that accreditation. And so they've taken extensive coursework in head and neck cancer, chemotoxicity, oncology exercise, breast cancer and lymphedema management, and pelvic floor cancer. And so from a therapy standpoint, we're integrating them right into the plan of care for our cancer patients, because it's one thing to survive cancer, but a lot of times you're left with either a decreased quality of life, weakness, peripheral neuropathies, things like that. And so we're able to integrate that right into when they first get the diagnosis. We'll take measurements and stuff. If, say, somebody's planning on a radical mastectomy or even radiology treatments for breast cancer, you know, we'll see what your shoulder range of motion is and everything before you have any of those treatments, because we know that there's going to be some limitations during the treatments and maybe left afterwards. So we want to be able to reestablish everything that you had for movement ahead of time. Or if it's balance activities, you know, a lot of those chemotherapy drugs can affect your balance and strength and everything. And so, and it's just a great thing to see our therapist integrated with the providers, so we can kind of turn it on, turn it off as we need because of the plan of care, you know. And
that level of care just continues to improve, doesn't it?
It really does. Wow. It's something that, you know, I kind of stumbled upon. I wish I could say I was brilliant in developing that idea, kind of stumbled upon it. And just in the time that it took to get the cancer center going, the accreditation process going, we already had the gals kind of in the PORI training modules, and now PORI is aligned with the Commission on Cancer for the rehab standard, and so we lucked into that.
Very
you
cool.
know, I wish I, like I said, I wish I could say I was a brilliant man, but I'm
take
not.
Credit for it, Eric. Take credit for it. Are there other awards or that you have received at SMC recently?
Yeah, you know, we hate to boast too much, but
let's brag a little bit.
We're super proud, and these are all wonderful things that the entire organization has accomplished. You know, for the 5 years in a row now, we've been a InterGauge survey top workplace for the state of Iowa. Last year was the first year that we were recognized as a top workplace in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
And because our scores met the threshold, we don't want to get to the cart in front of the horse this year. Our scores are actually higher for the 2025 survey than they were for the 2024. We haven't got an announcement yet on whether that qualifies us for anything on the national level or not. We're hopeful, but even if we're not, we're proud of the fact that we definitely will be a top workplace in the state of Iowa again, which is just says something about the culture and everything there. Another thing that's been big this past year is WellCOA is a group that looks at industrial wellness and corporate wellness and all that. And we were actually awarded the 2025 Wellness Alliance Well-Placed Gold Award. So they look at things like, you know, what kind of wellness program do you have for your folks, both physical, mental, spiritual, you know, all the way through, and what kind of engagement you have from your teams. And one of the things we're really excited about that was it's great to get that award internally, but we've been able to replicate our corporate wellness programming. And I think we have 12 partners around Shenandoah, Southwest Iowa now that joined us. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting things like, health screens, labs.
Now, I think specifically the Shenandoah School District has a great partnership,
yes,
isn't it, with Shenandoah Medical Center.
Yep. And so we go out there and do vaccinations for them. You know, when those come up, we go right to the school and provide those for the teachers on site. Do a health fair, so to speak, day and do lab draws and then get them the results back and everything. And then, you know, even if you're not established with one of our providers, if something is flagged in that process, then our wellness coordinator, Amy Zona, will reach back out to anybody and say, you know, just wanted you to know, you should probably speak to your doctor or a doctor if you're not established with somebody. Do you need help getting that establishment, or can we get your stuff over to your, so we're just really looking for ways to take a proactive stance on healthcare for our communities, you know, and then the last one that's been a big thing is, and I think sometimes you gotta, you know, our CEO, Matt Sells, is a super transparent guy. And so I don't think he'll bother me.
He's a good one.
He's great. Yeah. And I don't think this would bother him, me saying this. But when I first got here, when he was early on in his career, there's a company, Chartis, that does a hospital strength index. And it's one of the things that we drive our goals off of and has, have set our strategic plan and our facility scorecard on is kind of what they're looking at. And we weren't doing well. I mean, we were down in like the fifth percentile nationally, you know, and that's the part we don't love to own, but it's part of our story. Right. Yeah. But here this last year, we've raised that up to the 80.3rd percentile.
Wow.
And, you know, and that's looking at things like quality outcomes, market share, financial position, both on our cost and our revenues, you know, and just a lot of great, metrics. And so that puts us in the top quartile, you know, and for 2 years in a row, we've been in the top quartile for quality. And our goal is to be a top 100 hospital nationally. And typically that threshold is about the 92nd percentile. So we still got a little gap to close.
Yeah, but look at the growth.
Yep.
Wow.
That's, you know, and we've got our focus 100% on making sure we get there. That's, goodness, you know, something that we pride ourselves on. And I don't think any of us are going to be happy until we get there. And then we got to find the next thing to not be happy about. So we keep growing.
Exactly right. Well, that's pretty remarkable growth, without a doubt. So, if people wanted to, well, first, we didn't touch on the pharmacy. What's going on with the pharmacy? Yeah. Busy over there, retail pharmacy?
It is. It continues to grow and be extremely busy. And, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, our plan with that or our hopes for that is, you know, even for those folks that are already established at other pharmacies, you know, we'd love to be able to service everybody, but we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you come in with those emergent needs or, you know, maybe you've got a sick kid, you got to get back to work. You know, maybe from our walk-in clinic to getting you a prescription so you don't even have to leave the facility. You can walk out with your medications and everything. That was kind of the biggest part of that.
Sure.
But another thing that we found that's been very beneficial to our community and decrease, you know, you hear about the decreasing readmission rates is a big buzzword in healthcare, right? Well, especially in underserved areas where access to even transportation and stuff is sometimes hard for folks. We do what's called a meds to beds program. So for like our inpatients, if they are supposed to go home with prescriptions or our emergency room, if they're supposed to go home with a prescription, we can have that delivered right to them before they leave. So they don't have to make another stop. So there's no miss in getting that medication, which could result in them being put right back in for pneumonia or sepsis or, you know, whatever they were in for.
Right.
And so we've seen a huge, and that was part of the strategy with that is we really wanted to attack those readmission rates and we've seen some great success there. So I would say that the pharmacy has been a very successful endeavor for us.
So that's been more than a year now.
Yeah,
hasn't
pretty much about the same time as the Robert S. Holmes Cancer Center opened up. That was part of that renovation. I think it's about April of last year. We've been kind of watching everything since then. And
very cool. How would people get in touch with you, Eric, if they wanted to know more about, well, any of the things really we've talked about from the Wellness Center to some of the other programs you have going on? How can they find out more about you?
Certainly. You know, they can reach out to SMC, you know, and call, you know, on our main line, 712-246-7400 or 7030. Both those numbers will get you into us. And then our website's pretty extensive as well. So if you have questions about the Wellness Center or the Cancer Center or pharmacy or any of the things we talked about, our new cardiology programming, I say new, but it's a year old now, is pretty well established. But if you want to find out any of those things, our website is a great place to go for that. And then we keep a pretty, I guess I should have said the website is actually smchospital.com.
There you go.
So, and then we keep a pretty, steady presence on social medias. You know, we have a Facebook page that you can go out there and like, and then you'll get all the updates as they come out. Our marketing department does a great job with that. If you're more of an Instagram user, they've got Instagram, accounts as well. And I'm sure I'm getting old enough. I'm probably missing a few of the social
Snapchat,
media
TikTok.
Sources. Yeah. All those things. Yeah. I know we do have a TikTok presence as well. And they have a lot of fun with that one. And I'm not so much into that, but you know, it is what it is, but yeah, there's a lot of ways to reach out to us or find out information. If you have questions, if you want to know if there's a service that's offered down there because you want to keep your cares close to home, reach out to us or look online, and more than likely we'll have some information and resource for you. And we're always looking to expand those.
So go online, smchospital.com. I think there's a link to your socials on there as well.
Yes. Yep.
Or if you call 712-215-7030. And you start asking questions.
There you go.
I want to help. I heard this guy on the radio talking about they're going to get you to where you need to go.
Exactly.
So start asking those questions. Very cool. It's good stuff, Eric.
Well,
I mean, it's good stuff. So you hope to see that, you know, the continued, the growth has been remarkable, hasn't it?
It really has. And you know, I think there's some stuff that I'm not quite ready to spill on
let's do
the
it.
Radio yet.
Come
this
on.
Morning.
Let's do it, Eric. Come on.
Matt will be waiting for me at the door when I get back.
Let's
but
do it.
But there's still some big things to come. You know, I think that's what keeps us super excited you know, we just couldn't be prouder of the folks that we have working inside those walls, making all that happen. You know, I get to come and take all the glory for it happening by getting to talk about it today, but it really is, you know, it's a group of 360 plus employees that make those things that happen, that are super committed to providing the best care for our local folks and neighbors, and just take a lot of pride in that. And the culture is just amazing. You know, it's grown so much in the last 5 to 6 years. That's something we really hang our hat on.
Very cool. So. Very cool. What's the rest of your day hold today?
Boy, I got to get back for a purchasing meeting, and what else do I got on there?
I think we need to break a little bit of news yet this morning. Right? you're not going to go there, are you?
I'm going to try to keep my lips zipped. I will tell you this, Aaron. I will come back when that stuff's ready to be put out.
The door is open.
Gotcha.
The door is open. All right. Very good. Well, it is a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Always enjoy visiting with you and watching your family, too, with the great things that they're doing. So super fun. Well, very good. Enjoy what's left of summer.
Yeah. One last show for the kids
there
tomorrow
you go.
Morning, and then we're packing up for college.
Yeah. There you go. Are you ready for that?
I'm telling myself I am.
Keep telling yourself that. Keep telling yourself that. It is nice to visit with you. Thank you much.
Wonderful to be here.
Eric Holstey with me again, who is the COO, the Chief Operating Officer with Shenandoah Medical Center. And our thanks to Mr. Holstey for dropping by and visiting with us this morning.
A heat advisory for the country sunshine listening area. Mark at Mark Jackson's Red O'Car.